Welcome, everybody. Welcome online. Happy Mother's Day to moms. My name is Bob. I am the discipleship pastor here at Heights. So with my job, I have the opportunity to help people take steps to mature in their faith and learn to follow Jesus more fully. And I love my job. I'm not up here a lot, but I love what I do. I was up here a couple weeks ago talking about a recent missions trip to Dominican Republic. And it really is amazing what we do down there. So we work with Casa Misionera, and we work with a church called Iglesia de Restauración. But our main thing is we work with these students who they want to learn leadership. So we go down there to teach leadership. In fact, their mission vision statement for Casa Misionera is training the future Christian leaders of tomorrow today. And so I get excited because we're going to go down and teach leadership. So as we're planning the trip, you know, we're talking online with them and stuff, and they go, oh, but Bob, you will preach on a Sunday at church. And I do love preaching at the church, but it's stressful for me sometimes. So I'm like, okay, we're good. So that Sunday comes, I preach at the church, and it went well, and everything was good. But if I'm honest, I just sat there like relieved that that part was over, and now I get to focus on leadership. And so did it. Next day, we're on the bus. We went to public schools to preach the gospel. We had lunch, and then I would say it was probably like 2 p.m. We're on our way to a work project, and the leader for Casa Misionera comes up and goes, tonight when you're preaching, and I'm like, okay, what? And she goes, yeah, you're preaching tonight. And here's the thing, if I'm on a missions trip, I want to try to be as flexible as I can and do whatever they ask of me, but I'd only prepared one message. And I'm like, it takes me a long time because I want to do a lot of research and make sure I'm doing God's word justice. And I'm like, okay. So I skipped the rest of the afternoon work thing and I got my computer out and I'm in the bus working on something. And the night came, did it, and it was okay. It felt okay. Done with it. Well, then the next day we're doing work projects and we're doing this. And then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they go, so tonight when you're preaching, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop you right there. So what I did instead is I had our team give testimonies and one of our team members taught, and it was amazing, better than I could have ever done. But I say all that because today I really felt like I had time to prep, and I really feel like God laid a message on my heart. And to introduce the topic, I want to tell you something that happened on the missions trip. So we're in this small village putting on a tin roof on this building. And I'd say you're on this dirt patch, probably about as big as this. So our team's kind of spread out talking to people. And one of the guys on the trip, he's 19 years old. His name is Jackson. He is playing with this mangy, nasty, ugly little stray cat. And he's petting it and stuff. So one of the elders on our trip, Kip was on the trip. So Kip comes over, he goes, I'm going to mess with Jackson. Just go along with it. So I'm like, okay. So I just kind of walk away because I'm going to follow a lead. So I hear him go up to Jackson. He goes, were you petting that cat? And he goes, yeah, why? He goes, well, it has worms. And Jackson's like, well, I don't see worms. He goes, you don't see worms. And Kip goes on to explain how he knows that this cat has worms. So at this point, I figured I'm set up to come over. So I come over and Jackson comes at me like this. And I go, whoa, whoa, don't hug me. Were you petting that cat? And he goes, yeah, why? I go, well, it obviously has worms. He goes, what? I go, it does. And I said, you just got that fresh tattoo on your hand. That's how they get in. And he goes, what? I go, they'll get in through that open sore on your hand. And he looks horrified. So then Kip goes on to explain all the horrible symptoms in graphic detail that would start happening as the day and night went on. So I'm trying not to laugh. I'm like, I just got to walk away. So I leave and I see Jackson going over to every woman on our trip like, hey, do you have hand sanitizer? And he's like doing the whole bathing thing. Again, trying not to laugh. So then a little bit later, Pastor Alessandro is talking to me and he only speaks Spanish. So I get words and phrases. I don't get the whole thing. But as I'm talking to him, Jackson comes up and Jackson's here and I'm talking to Alessandro. And I see he keeps looking over at Jackson. He talked to me and look at, I don't even know what he's saying. So he walks away and Jackson goes, what was he saying? I said, I think he's worried that we should take you to the hospital right now. Then I see him bathe in 2 more bottles of hand sanitizer. So a little later, I thought, well, you could just see him doing this. And I'm like, we got to tell him. So I said, it's just a joke. Well, Jackson was part of a 12-step program, and he went through step work. So he goes, I just added you to my step 4. And Step four is you take a moral inventory of people that have wronged you or hurt you in horrible ways with the idea of forgiving them. So he's not in this service, but I think he's forgiven me now. I think he did his step four. But I would say this, as funny as the story is, forgiveness really is a big deal. And forgiveness, or the lack of forgiveness that you have, it affects you spiritually, and we'll talk about that, but it also affects you emotionally and physically. So I read a recent study from Johns Hopkins, and it says this: unforgiveness is linked to higher incidences of stress, heart disease, high blood pressure, lowered immune response, anxiety, depression, and other issues. It does affect you. And I don't know if you've heard this saying before, but unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. The other person is rarely, if ever, affected, but it can slowly kill you. And God knows unforgiveness is not good for us. He made you. He designed us, and he knows us intimately. So he has a lot to say about unforgiveness. And so I want to look at Matthew 18 today, because he speaks so strongly about the subject of forgiveness. So if you have Bibles with you or your phones and you want to turn there, it's Matthew 18. We're going to start in verse 21 and 22. And it says this: then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70-7 times, or it might say 70 times seven." So in the verses prior to this, Jesus is speaking about what happens if a brother or sister sins against you. So we don't know Peter's motive for asking the question. He may have wanted to know more about forgiveness. He may have realized he had something against a brother, one of the disciples. Or he may have been trying to make himself look good, because Jewish tradition at that time said you were obligated to forgive a brother for the same offense three times. But if they sinned, did the same thing the fourth time, you were no longer obligated to forgive, because it kind of proved that they were unrepentant. So Peter must have felt pretty generous, because he takes the Jewish tradition of three, multiplies it by two, and adds one. So seven sounds pretty generous. But Jesus knows that Peter's thoughts of generosity are human thoughts and not God's thoughts. And he wants Peter to know how extravagant it is. So he goes, not seven times, Peter, 70 times seven. The number, it wasn't about the number. What it was about is how extravagant and endless forgiveness is. Some of you know that I used to be a mailman in Cleveland, Ohio, and I have a hidden talent that I don't want to brag about. They keep saying they're going to switch this to the smaller target, but I could shoot a rubber band. It's pretty amazing. The reason I say that is because we used to shoot each other with rubber bands all the time at the post office. It was this nonstop thing that we would do with each other, all the guys. Does anyone in here work for the post office? Anyone? Do you guys do that still? You do, see? It's so fun, isn't it? So I love it, and I was really good at it, and those things really do hurt. But I worked with a Christian, one of the mailmen was a Christian, his name was Mark Burke. And he worked directly behind me, so he'd be probably right where that screen is, and you're in a case, so every once in a while I'd just turn around and peg him. And I'd get him pretty good, you know? And so then one day, he never shot back. And then he comes up and he goes, "I'm gonna start keeping track." I go, "Of what?" He goes, "You shooting me? Because Jesus said I only have to forgive 70 times seven." And I didn't realize, but he got a piece of paper, and apparently he was marking it, and every time. And then I guess I hit 491. At one point, and he just unleashed on me. Like, I was kind of just at my case like this, and I got hit so bad. It was so bad that later that day, I went to the gym to work out. And after I was done working out, I was getting dressed. I had my shirt off, and some guy's staring at me. So I'm like, "Do we have a problem?" He goes, yeah, I think we do. I think you have a disease or ringworm or something. You've got all these round welts all over your back. I go, oh, no. I just work over at the post office, which at the time I said that. I don't even know why I thought that would answer the whole thing for him. I never saw him at the gym after that either. It was so weird. By the way, this is why I keep notes out here, because I tend to stray off subject a little bit. But the point is, it wasn't about forgiving 490 times. The point is, the forgiveness we get is endless. It's not a number, it's a heart stance. And to drive the point home, Jesus goes a little further to try to explain it. So in verses 23 through 27, it says this: therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, or 10,000 talents, depending on your translation, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now, I want to give you an idea of how much this is. So 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold that they had back then, they estimate now that that would be in the realm of $6 billion. And obviously, there's no way to pay that back. So as a husband and father, it would be one of the darkest days of my life, if not the darkest. I really can't think of anything worse than you're going to sell off my wife and my kids. It's all because of me. I would probably feel like the ultimate failure as a father and as a husband. And I think it's fair to say it was the lowest point in this man's life. Imagine, all this is going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no way to pay it back. I also think it's interesting that Peter asked about forgiveness and Jesus talks about money. But we can see how it relates. Because we talk about debt forgiveness, forgiveness of a loan. So they relate. But we're talking about spiritual, emotional forgiveness that people need. And there was a study done of people in nursing homes. So they went and they asked them, they said, if you could live your life over, how would you live it differently? So here are people in their 80s and 90s. Their top three answers were this. Number one, they would take more walks. I love number two, they would eat more ice cream. And number three, they would forgive more people. And then we're asked about that. And here are these people in their 80s and 90s that realized they were holding on to wrongs done to them way back from elementary school that a teacher or a classmate might have said to them, but they've been carrying this around their whole life. And there's so many people in our culture today that are carrying around hurts and burdens from so long ago. There's a fact I can tell you. Hurting people hurt people. And we see it with all the hate around us. It's people carrying around hurts and then going on to hurt someone else. Now, this is an older story, but I remember it well. I think it was 2006. A 32-year-old man went into an Amish school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It was a one-room classroom. He split the boys and girls on each side, started letting the boys go one by one, and then he started shooting the girls. He killed five of them and then took his own life. And I remember at the time seeing the news, every news channel, the first thing they said is they couldn't believe how quick the Amish community was to forgive. But then on one of the stations, they interviewed the wife of the shooter, and she said he had been hanging on to unforgiveness for over a decade. And this is how it finally came out. Because again, hurting people hurt people. But if we look back at verses 26 and 27, I want to reread this. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. You're before the master at this point. all you can do is fall to your knees and beg forgiveness. And I think it's interesting that this servant says, I'll pay back everything I owe. It's $6 billion. I'm not sure he understood how much he had been forgiven. But it says that the master had pity or compassion on him. He released him. He didn't just defer the debt, he paid it off. He canceled it. And that's exactly what Jesus does for us. He sees our sins, he sees our brokenness, and he says, I want to have compassion on you. I want to release you and pay off your debt. I'm going to speak for me, but I'm probably speaking for all of you too. I've racked up such an extraordinary amount of sin or debt that I could never pay it back. It's $6 billion. And in Romans, it says, the wages of our sin or our debt is death. That's eternal separation from God. And yet Jesus took the debt, paid it off, and he says, all you have to do is accept my forgiveness and believe in me. Why? Because the master, God, had compassion on us. So when you hear that, how does that make you feel? Think about all that you've been forgiven. Because I would say this, that kind of love demands a response. If you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, this is so important because you could never pay back the debt that you've accumulated. And for those of you who are followers, I hope you're reminded of how much you've been forgiven. That $6 billion should ring a bell for you. But I want to go back to the servant, because if this servant really understood what he'd been forgiven, how should he have felt? How should he have responded? Because he responds totally wrong. Look at verse 28 and 29. It says this. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins or denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Now, 100 denarii is a debt. They say in our day, 100 denarii would be somewhere around 11,000. So it's a significant debt. It's a significant wrong. But compared to the billions that he owed, it is absolutely nothing. So you see this servant respond the same way the first one did. He falls to his knees and begs for forgiveness, almost word for word saying the same thing. But we see this servant respond totally differently than the master. Matthew 18:30 says this, but he refused. Instead, he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. I want to say this. The king's response is right and just. There had to be a payment. Without justice, there would be total chaos. And Jesus made the payment for us. But I think the verse that keeps popping into my head that gets my attention is 35, where it says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive each other or forgive your brother from the heart. And I know this is super hard to hear, but Jesus says this pretty much about the same thing earlier in Matthew. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says this, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Those are really tough words to hear from Jesus. I think it's fair to say that Jesus takes unforgiveness very seriously. And if you're in this room and you call yourself a believer or a follower of Jesus, it's not an option to not forgive. And I believe that like the first servant, if he's sitting there and won't forgive the second servant, I wonder if he really understood and embraced what he had been forgiven. And that's why I would ask us today, do we understand what we've been forgiven? Because it would respond differently. So I heard a lot of you, I don't know if you know Sean McDowell, he's a Christian apologetics expert. And so what he does is he does conferences and he defends the Bible. So he was doing one in Southern Cal. He said there was probably about 4,000 or 5,000 people, but the people who put the conference together told him right before, hey, you're going to have a lot of non-Christians tonight. And they said, in fact, one of them is an ex-youth pastor. He just turned his back on the Lord about a month ago and left Jesus completely. And Sean said, do you know him? And he goes, yeah. He goes, do you think he'd meet with me prior? Because I'd really like to hear his story. So the guy talked to him and he agreed to meet with Sean. So they met for about an hour prior to the conference. And Sean said, hey, I heard you were this youth pastor and you walked away from your faith. I just want to know your story. And instead of telling the story, the young man just said, I don't understand why God is so silent. And I don't know why I don't see more miracles and things from him. He said, all I feel is the absence of God. And Sean said, at that point, he said, he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, all these names of people who could answer all these questions were coming through his head. And Sean said, I felt inadequate. I didn't know what to say. So he said, all I did is, he said, well, can I ask you a question? And the young man said, well, yeah. And he said, we can talk about you leaving the faith, but can you tell me, when did you come to faith? When did you realize that you were a sinner in need of God's forgiveness? And he said, the young man's eyes got as big as saucers. He looked like a deer in the headlights. And he said, I didn't become a Christian because I was a sinner. I became a Christian because I was hurting and everyone told me Jesus would make me feel better. That's a false gospel. This kid never understood what Jesus did for him. He was never in relationship with Jesus. He never had an experience with Jesus. And Sean McDowell said at that same talk, he was like, every time I meet someone who says they walked away from the faith, he said, I would guarantee they never had a faith. He said, they never understood Jesus' forgiveness. He said, they would say things like, he said, well, when did you become a Christian? When did you know Jesus died for your sins? Well, I've just always been a Christian. Well, then you don't get it. You didn't understand or accept the forgiveness he offers. And I think I feel the same thing about people when they say they refuse to forgive a brother. Maybe they never understood what they were forgiven. Because if you understand forgiveness, you pay that forward. We've all been forgiven an extraordinary amount of debt. And you could be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not really that bad. I have never killed anybody. I've never been to jail. I've never done drugs. I waited to have sex till I was married. I did this, this, and this. And I would say those are the people that have been forgiven the $6 billion that don't get it. And I would compare it to the story of the prodigal son. The younger son went off and did wild living, but the older son was full of pride. Pride is sin. He was just as lost as the younger son, but in a different way. And I heard it said that pride can blind you from ever seeing your need for forgiveness. And as I'm saying all this, I don't want to diminish the wrongs that have been done to you. Some of you might have been wronged in terrible ways. And I will tell you, I've been wrong in horrible ways before. But I, in comparison to what Jesus has and continues to forgive me for, honestly, it's nothing. Because I know I could never pay back that debt. But do you know that? Because forgiveness isn't easy, and I think it would be impossible for me if I didn't understand Jesus' forgiveness and if I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit to help me forgive others. I mentioned earlier, I said hurting people hurt people, but I think the opposite is true. Forgiven people forgive people. And I've been forgiven so much, how could I not? And I would say this about it. Forgiveness is very healing. I'll tell you a story. About 15 years ago, at Heights, we started this discipleship program called CTO. Some of you might have been here. It's called Call to Obedience. So what they would have us do as a staff is you would go with your spouse. So me and my wife went, and we would meet with the people that wrote the program, and they would tell us how to use it. Well, literally week one, the whole thing was about forgiveness. That's what they started with. So the lady said, hey, here's what we're going to do, Bob. I'm going to write down your dad's name. And so she wrote it down. She goes, now tell me every way your dad has sinned against you. And I'm like, what? And she goes, every day, everything your dad has done to wrong you. So I'm telling her stuff. And she goes, well, okay, so now we're going to forgive your dad. I go, well, I've already forgiven him. She goes, no, but you just got to, how we do it, so you learn. So we went in the backyard. She said, would you pray over this forgiveness list? And I'm going to burn it. So she started on fire. I prayed, and it was over, and it was great. So then the following week, she goes, okay, we're going to do something different today. We're going to make a list of how you wronged your dad. And I'm like, well, I never. With a few prodding questions, I realized all these things that I had done and not done to sin against my dad. So we get ready to leave, and she goes, okay, so this week you're going to call your dad and ask for forgiveness. And I said, well, you don't know my dad. I said, he's not going to like this at all. I said, this could go really south. And she kept insisting. She goes, well, you have to do it. So I kept putting it off. And each week we'd go back for the next lesson. She goes, how did the talk go with your dad? Oh, it's just been a busy week. You know, haven't called him yet, but I will. So finally I call my dad up. I say, hey, Dad, I'm doing this Bible study, and I need to ask for forgiveness from some things I've done to you. And he said in some really choice words that I'm not going to use on why I don't need to do that and why I don't need to forgive him. So I said, well, I really don't have a choice. So I start telling him all the things I was asking forgiveness for, and the phone's dead, blank. And I'm like, I got something new to add to his list now because he just hung up on me. And then I realized my dad's crying. And my dad is not like that. And all he says to me is, he said, you never had to ask. I will tell you this about that relationship. Now, prior to that conversation, I would say I talked to my dad maybe once every 2 or 3 months. I talk to my dad every day, almost. Every week I'm on the phone with him at least once. In fact, I just talked to him this morning. Because forgiveness is so healing. And I'll say some of you, probably it might be the day that you need to forgive yourself. We recently put together a Bible study here, a one-on-one discipleship called Follow. And one of the questions in there is it easy to forgive forgive yourself or others? Everyone I've asked that question to, it's been 100% harder to forgive yourself. And I'd say this about that. If God has forgiven you, who are you to remember it anymore? Because if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old things have died and passed away. So why are you hanging around the cemetery trying to dig those things back up? And even today, we battle sin and sometimes we lose. But that debt's been paid too. So maybe today is the day that you just need to forgive yourself to move forward. If you don't forgive yourself, again, I'll say maybe you don't understand God's forgiveness. But as we're talking about forgiveness, I want to tell you a few things that forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Because as we're sitting here, I'm sure some names are popping in your head that you need to forgive, and you're sitting there going, well, I don't feel like forgiving them. You're probably never going to feel like forgiving them. Forgiveness is done out of obedience, not a feeling. But I will tell you from personal experience, once I've done it out of obedience, the feeling usually follows. And forgiveness is not forgetting or ignoring the wrong that was done to you. It's not letting someone off the hook. The wrong that was done to you was real. I don't think we need to make excuses for those people either and say things like, well, we all mess up and they didn't mean it. Again, what they did was real. And we can't forget it. So sometimes triggers will happen where that wrong comes back up, and you got to pray that again and give forgiveness. And forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same. Forgiveness is a choice to release a hurt. Reconciliation is restoring a relationship. Forgiveness can be granted without restoring the relationship, because sometimes it's harmful to step back into that. So I want to do something special. I think a lot of times we're in church, and I feel like we're supposed to respond to God's word every time we're in here. God's word is so important, and we hear that, and if nothing changes, it's like faith without works is dead. So some of you are sitting in here today, and you know Holy Spirit's prodding you on a few things. We want to give you a chance and the opportunity to respond to that. And I will say this, there's probably a couple things that are touching your heart. Number one, maybe you never realized the $6 billion that you owe. And maybe today is the day that you're sitting here saying, I want to accept the payoff of my debt. I want to step into relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're sitting here today and these people that are coming to your head that you think you can't forgive, but you're a Christian, you're a believer, but you don't know how to release that and you don't know how to let go of those hurts. So here's what I would love to do. We're going to have the band come back up and they're going to play a song, but we're going to be down in front. I'm going to come down there. We're going to have some of the prayer team down there. But I will tell you, if you feel God is talking to you right now to respond, please don't miss an opportunity. Don't leave here saying, I should have. Do what he's asking you to do. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Father, first of all, I just thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for paying a debt that we could have never paid, Father. We love you. And Father, I pray for people out here today that are realizing the debt that was paid, understanding your love and your forgiveness, Father, I pray that you would give them courage and boldness to come forward and tell someone that the decision they've made, Father, so you can use others to help on that walk, Father. We're a family. We want to walk this together. And Father, I pray for those that are struggling, Christian brothers that are struggling to let go of hurts, of burdens and wrongs, Lord. I pray today would be the day they release that, Father. And again, for them, I pray courage and boldness, Father, that they would be able to come forward, talk and pray this through, Lord. Father, we love you so much and thank you so much for the opportunity to respond to your word. In Jesus' name.